Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show. Today we are highlighting Ladies with Soul and a little funk.
Just a little bit.
All right, we're going to start off, Mark, with a tough trivia question. And
Lay it on me.
Who is known as the Queen of Soul?
Oh, come on, Jim. Of course, it's the one and only Aretha Franklin. Okay, so how did she get that name? Everybody wants to know. Well, Purvis Spann, a radio personality from Chicago's WVON, announced that Franklin should be crowned the Queen of Soul, and it stuck.
Yep, another Chicago connection. Yes, we're talking about Aretha Franklin. She was born to a Baptist minister in Memphis, but moved to Detroit at an early age. After her mother died when she was 10, Aretha was raised by her grandmother, and believe this, Mark, a legendary gospel singer by the name of Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
By the age of 12, Aretha was singing solo in her father's church choir and began traveling with him on the gospel caravan circuit. She would often stay in Chicago with the famous Staples family. A lot of connections here. Again, more Chicago connections. After hearing Aretha sing, Dinah Washington, who was from Chicago, informed fellow Chicagoan Quincy Jones of her talent. She continued meeting accomplished vocalists who influenced her and who helped her along the way, along with Sam Cooke.
From where?
Chicago.
Right.
And Ray Charles. Not from Chicago.
Yeah. I knew you were going to do that.
She was getting quite an education from these great, great mentors. At the age of 18, she signed with Columbia Records, and when her Columbia contract ran out in 67, she signed with Atlantic Records, where her career really took flight with songs like Otis Redding's Respect and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, which was written by Carole King, who I love, David Goffin, and Jerry Wexler. Nothing, but nothing exemplifies selling a song better than Aretha singing our next song.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired, and when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind, and you're the key to
Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
Wow,
oh, my God. And I urge our listeners to go to YouTube and watch Franklin singing that same song at Carole King's Kennedy Center Awards Ceremony. It's simply amazing.
Yeah. Well, our next artist, Gladys Knight, has been called the Empress of Soul, and her 7 Grammys backs it up. Rolling Stone magazine ranked Knight among the 100 greatest singers of all time, and along with the Pips, are inductees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Vocal Group Hall of Fame. By the way, what is a pip, Jim?
A pip? Well, I'm glad you asked. believe it or not, Pip was the nickname of one of Gladys's cousins, so they just thought it was cool.
Finally, one of the great mysteries of the universe solved. I get that question all the time. Gladys Knight and the Pips go all the way back to 1952, Atlanta, Georgia. They started out just as the Pips, and it was a family affair with Gladys's brother, sister, and two cousins. In 1952, the Pips appeared on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour. I guess if you're old enough, you know what that show was.
Yeah.
And won first place when Gladys was just 10 years old. Gladys Knight and the Pips signed with Motown in 1966, but in 1973, the group moved to Buddha Records. With Buddha, they had the number one hit, Midnight Train to Georgia, and won a Grammy for Best R&B Vocal by a Group. Years later, the group disbanded, and Gladys went solo.
And Mark, I don't know if you knew this, but Gladys also had an acting career. And back in the day, she appeared in a few movies and some TV shows like The Jeffersons, Benson, and A Different World. And, she was also on Dancing at with the Stars just a couple of years ago.
Wheezy.
Yeah. Well, that was Jefferson.
Yeah, I know that. I know. Well, Gladys also collaborated with artists as diverse as Elton John, Kenny Rogers, and Dionne Warwick. She also recorded the theme song to the James Bond movie License to Kill. Man, what a resume, huh? But let's play some music. Here is the number one hit song, Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight and the Pips.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going
back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, what's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long.
Live without him in mind. World is his.
you're a Gladys Knight fan, it's nice to know that she's still going strong and has a tour scheduled for both the United States and the United Kingdom in 2022. Just a reminder, you are listening to their classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7. Jim, you have a Chicago native coming up next.
Yes, I do. And we're going to talk about Mavis Staples, who was born and bred in Chicago. And she is the lead singer for the group The Staples Singers, which was led by her father, Pop Staples, along with her sisters, Cleotha, Yvonne, and Purvis, as the background vocalist. They were known as God's greatest hitmakers. They began as a gospel group in 1950 and later crossed over to R&B, soul, pop, and the blues. By the mid-1960s, their popularity as gospel artists led them to be spiritual and musical voices for the civil rights movement, which was led by Dr. Martin Luther King. Later, they covered some pop hits that opened up a new audience, songs like Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall and Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth. But the song that endured were their songs like Respect Yourself and Let's Do It Again.
Jim, going back to that Dylan reference, did you know that according to Mavis, Bob Dylan proposed marriage?
No, I didn't. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't know that.
Okay.
You know everything.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. One of my favorite Staples Singers performances took place in the film The Last Waltz. They sang The Wait along with the members of the band. I recommend watching that particular performance on YouTube. But back to their own music, let's play their hit from 1972, I'll Take You There.
There, Mavis. Take
okay.
me there.
And she did.
Yes.
You know, she also achieved her own success as a solo artist when she worked with several artists, including Bob Dylan, Prince, Ray Charles. You know, she really had a great solo career. All right, Mark, we're going to stay in Chicago.
Wow, we don't want to leave, do we?
Tell me about the next lady with soul.
Okay. The band Rufus began as Ask Rufus in the early 1970s, and they made the rounds in Chicago clubs. After gaining some acclaim, they traveled to L.A. to cut an album, but unfortunately the album never materialized. So they came back to Chicago, and their female lead singer, Paulette McWilliams, parted ways. But she suggested a young friend by the name of Chaka Khan to replace her, and it was the ideal choice. Chaka was born Yvette Stevens in Chicago, and she was raised in Hyde Park. Her love of music began at an early age when her grandmother introduced her to jazz, but she fell in love with R&B and started her own group at the age of 11 named Crystalettes. There's that thing, 11.
11.
10, I started it, you know.
Yeah, I was watching Louis Aparicio. That's all I cared about.
Yeah, really.
A baseball player, everybody.
I was watching I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
So in 1969, she changed her first name from Yvette to Chaka and her last name to Khan when she married Hasan Khan in 1970. After signing with ABC Records, Rufus went out to Los Angeles to record an album, but it was not well received. However, the second album, Rags to Rufus, included the song Tell Me Something Good, a song written for the band by Stevie Wonder. This song put Chaka and the band on the map, and it was a top 10 hit, and it won a Grammy. Through the 1970s, Rufus had many more hit singles and six platinum albums, not too shabby. But Chaka remained the band's main attraction.
Yes, she did. And she was actually, she had a bit part in the Blues Brothers movie.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And after Rufus broke up, Chaka continued with a stellar solo career. She was known as the Queen of Funk as she demonstrated on the 1974 Rufus classic, Once You Get Started. I wonder what that means. Well, I guess we'll have to listen to find out. All right. Once you get started by the great Chaka Khan. Jim, we have one more solstice to go, so take us there.
All right. This will be Natalie Cole. She was born to sing, having been born into singing royalty. Her father was the great Nat King Cole, and her mother, Maria Cole, who's originally worked with the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Because of her lineage, she was exposed to so many well-known jazz, soul, and blues singers as a child, so she had quite a musical education. The first time she was recorded was on a Christmas album with her father, and she was 6 years old.
Oh, God. Another one. They keep getting younger and younger.
Yeah, exactly. 6 years old. We were, what, first grade? Something like that. She also loved to sing rock and roll and R&B, and she was influenced by Aretha Franklin and, get this one, Janis Joplin.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she formed a band called Black Magic, and she moved on to a solo career after that and recorded demos at Curtis Mayfield's studio, where? In Chicago, which led to a contract with Capitol Records. Her first album, Inseparable, was released in 1975 and reached number one on the Billboard R&B charts. It won her a Grammy for Best Female R&B Vocalist and Best New Artist. Her popularity continued to soar with more top-selling hits and appearances on TV shows. And Cole was the first female artist to score two platinum-selling albums in the same year. Unfortunately, most of the 1980s were very difficult years for her due to drug abuse. But she recovered and had a top 10 hit with an R&B cover of Bruce Springsteen's rockabilly song, Pink Cadillac.
I love that song.
Yeah, it is good. In 1991, Cole recorded one of the most endearing albums ever. That album, Unforgettable with Love, was made up of songs with her father, Nat King Cole. Of course, he was gone by then, so they had to record over it. But let's close the show with that song I first talked about from 1975, This Will Be. Sing it, Natalie.
Whoa.
Sing it.
Jim, this was one inspiring show. I hope our listeners really appreciated it. Well, that's our show for today, and I love how so many of today's artists had ties to Chicago. And actually, that is one of the surprising discoveries visitors will make when the new Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 in Joliet officially opens to the public.
Yeah, Chicago has a great history in music.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. Please join us on 101.5 FM every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and on Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Or you can listen to our recorded shows anytime on the station's website at huntleyradio.com. You can also find us on Facebook and send us any suggestions you may have.
In our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today is available at record stores such as Rolling Stones Records in Norridge, Vale's Halle in Oak Park, and Black Circle Records all the way up there in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Nice. Go up and visit that store and then go on the boat and have a nice ride. To view Jim's classic rock photography, go to his website, jimsamariaphoto.com. You've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU LP 101.5 FM, and on demand anywhere in the world, including the Motor City in the state of Michigan.
And thank you, Jim Eggers, for another great show. We appreciate your producing.
The amazing Jim Eggers.
Did we say that right, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He's nodding. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.